Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, May 17, 2017. I'm Mary Sherman. We're featuring several stories, including the Trump administration in defense mode over leaked intelligence. A new report outlines the impacts of extreme gerrymandering. And an Ohio Supreme Court justice's objectivity is called into question. And we begin with the White House, which is doing damage control as the nation reacts to word that President Donald Trump shared classified information with Russia. The Washington Post article described how Trump's sharing of sensitive details about a terrorist plot with top Russian diplomats jeopardized access to a stream of intelligence from a critical U.S. ally. Administration officials immediately denounced the article as false. But in a tweet Tuesday morning, Trump appeared to confirm that he had shared information with the Russians, which he noted he has the absolute right to do. Presidents can declassify information as they see fit, but experts said the disclosures might put at risk other countries' willingness to share valuable, sensitive intelligence with the U.S. The timing was especially concerning, coming just one day after Trump fired FBI Director James Comey, who was leading the investigation into whether Trump's campaign colluded with Russia to meddle in the 2016 election. Redistricting, designed to favor a political party, has skewed election results in many states, and a new report says Pennsylvania is one of the most extreme examples.
The Brennan Center report, called Extreme Maps, says partisan bias in drawing district lines in seven closely divided battleground states has given Republicans at least 16 to 17 additional seats in the current Congress. And according to report co-author Michael Lee, Pennsylvania's map gives some of the most distorted results.
This decade's maps have been remarkably durable in giving Republicans a 13-5 advantage in the congressional delegation, which is just out of whack with the state as a whole.
The report found that partisan bias in district maps in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and North Carolina alone have accounted for 7 to 10 extra Republican congressional seats in each election since the 2011 redistricting. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
The Koch brothers are getting a lot of help advancing conservative policies in states like Colorado, Eric Galatis explains.
The Bradley Foundation, a Wisconsin-based conservative powerhouse, is taking its successful strategies targeting unions and public education to swing states, including Colorado, according to new separate reports by the Center for Media and Democracy and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sam Gilchrist with the Colorado AFL-CIO says it's more than just the Koch brothers funding efforts to roll back worker protections.
They've seen what's happening in D.C. and felt that they haven't been able to impact policy as much in Congress as they'd like. So they are working to fund organizations in states that attack workers and try to enact policies that hurt workers.
A 2015 Bradley grant application by the Colorado-based Independence Institute outlined a goal of neutralizing the state's teachers' unions by targeting school district funding. The Institute, which received nearly $1.5 million between 2004 and 2016, declined to comment, citing a need to protect Bradley's First Amendment rights.
Democrats on Tuesday used a procedural tactic to force a House floor on a vote on a resolution demanding President Trump provide Congress with his tax returns from the past decade. Republicans didn't offer a ruling on the resolution, but under House rules, it's expected to get a floor vote within the next 2 days. And out of North Carolina, where a directive from U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions could shift additional burdens on the state's already crowded prison system and place a disproportionate number of minority defendants in jail. Stephanie Carson has more.
On Friday, AG Sessions announced he was directing federal prosecutors to pursue the most severe penalties possible, including mandatory minimum sentences. Calling his new policy a return to the war on drugs of the 1980s and 90s. Anita Earls with the Southern Coalition for Social Justice says the shift takes the nation backwards when it comes to handling offenders.
I think it's not justified from a policy perspective. It doesn't make the public safer. It's not a way to address the problem of drugs.
Earls and others are concerned that the shift will mean overcrowding of jails and a large number of minority defendants being placed in the prison system.
A complaint filed Tuesday by several organizations asked the Office of Disciplinary Counsel to investigate Ohio Supreme Court Justice Sharon Kennedy. The request alleges Kennedy violated Ohio's Code of Judicial Conduct when she spoke at a fundraiser for a Greater Toledo Right to Life, just days after the court decided to hear a case that could determine the fate of Toledo's last clinic that performs abortions. Sandy Tice with Progress Ohio contends it's a serious matter.
There have been 18 new restrictions passed since John Kasich has taken office, and they've closed half the abortion clinics. The entire apparatus of government in Ohio is stacked against women, and we can't let the judicial branch become compromised as well.
During the the fundraiser, Kennedy did not discuss abortion or any pending court cases, and has since denied that she acted inappropriately. In health news, this time of year, cycling is many people's choice to get some exercise and enjoy the outdoors. But a study by Yale researchers in 2006 linked cycling to problems with sexual health and urinary dysfunction. Now, as Veronica Carter explains, a new team of scientists disputes those results.
New research says the Yale study was small and focused mostly on extreme athletes, not those who bike for exercise, leisure, or to commute. Dr. Mohanad Awad, a member of the American Urological Association, authored the new study.
Surprisingly, our results were completely contradictory to the previous results. We found that cyclists have no worse sexual or urinary function compared to other non-cyclist athletes.
Awad says riding a bike is one of the healthiest forms of exercise, so he advises everyone to strap on a helmet and enjoy the ride.
I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.